You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYNads.com.
Tonight, the Supreme Court ending a highly divisive term with two major rulings, then celebrating a landmark moment in American history. On its last day, the court delivering two more significant decisions, a victory for the Biden administration on immigration, but a huge blow to the president's fight against climate change. Conservative justices restricting the EPA's ability to regulate greenhouse gas emissions from power plants. And after overturning Roe v. Wade, President Biden today criticizing the court for, quote, outrageous behavior, what he now wants done to protect abortion rights in the U.S. Today's Supreme Court term ending with the retirement of Justice Stephen Breyer and the swearing in of Justice Ketanji Brown Jackson, now the first black woman justice in the court's 233-year history. Terry Moran and Cecilia Vega standing by. Record holiday travel heading into the 4th of July, possibly one of the busiest in decades. Hundreds of pilots on the picket lines demanding higher pay. Airlines promising to do better after thousands of flights were canceled last weekend. Nearly 50 million Americans driving or flying will tell you the worst times to be on the road from now until tomorrow night. Tracking severe weather over the holiday weekend, damaging winds and hail in the Northeast from Philadelphia to New York to Boston, and the tropical threat in the Gulf taking aim at Texas and Louisiana. Rob Marciano timing it out. The ABC News exclusive, Jonathan Carl one-on-one with Congresswoman Liz Cheney defending the bombshell testimony from former White House aide Cassidy Hutchinson. Sources telling ABC News she was one of the witnesses who told the January 6th committee about being pressured by Donald Trump's allies to protect the former president. The case making national headlines, authorities arresting the fugitive suspect wanted for the alleged love triangle murder in Texas. And the cruise ship damaged after hitting a small iceberg off the coast of Alaska returns to port.
From ABC News World Headquarters in New York, this is World News Tonight with David Muir.
Good evening. It's great to have you with us on this Thursday night. I'm Whit Johnson, in for David. Tens of millions of Americans are hitting the road for a record weekend of holiday travel, but we start here tonight with a historic day for the U.S. Supreme Court after a tumultuous term and blockbuster decisions on abortion and gun rights. Two final decisions today, one on immigration, the other on the environment, and then the swearing in of the court's newest member, Ketanji Brown Jackson, now the 104th Associate Justice and the first black woman ever on the nation's highest court. But earlier today, a major blow to President Biden's agenda on climate change, a ruling that the EPA has limited authority to regulate emissions from power plants. The other ruling allowing the Biden administration to scrap the Trump-era policy, forcing most asylum seekers to wait in Mexico while their cases are decided. The Supreme Court ending the term with those two consequential decisions, and they've already placed a major election case on their docket for the fall. ABC's senior national correspondent Terry Moran leads us off from the Supreme Court.
At the Supreme Court today, a major blow to the Biden administration's efforts to fight climate change. In a 6-3 decision, the court's conservative justices voted to sharply cut back the EPA's ability to regulate greenhouse gas emissions from power plants. Chief Justice John Roberts, writing for the majority, at first acknowledged that capping carbon dioxide emissions may be a sensible solution to the crisis of the day. But Roberts declared that sweeping regulations like the one at issue in this case, aimed at reducing power plants' carbon output nationwide, go beyond the lawful authority of the EPA and must be approved by Congress first. A decision of such magnitude and consequence rests with Congress itself, Roberts wrote. The case was brought by West Virginia's attorney general, representing a group of Republican-led states and coal and mining companies.
A lot of people are going to try to make this into an issue about a climate change. This is about ensuring that Congress, not unelected bureaucrats, get to make the major decisions of the day.
Justice Elena Kagan, in a scathing dissent joined by the court's two other liberals, insisted that the Clean Air Act, passed by Congress more than 50 years ago, gives the EPA flexibility to address climate change, and she blasted her conservative colleagues for taking it away. The court appoints itself, instead of Congress or the expert agency, the decision-maker on climate policy, she wrote. I cannot think of many things more frightening. But on immigration, a victory for the Biden administration. In a 5-4 opinion, the justices ruled that President Biden can end the so-called Remain in Mexico program, the Trump-era policy that forced roughly 70,000 asylum-seeking migrants to languish in Mexico as they waited for their cases to be resolved. Biden tried to end the program as soon as he took office, but a federal court reinstated it. Tonight, Chief Justice Roberts again writing the opinion, saying the lower court imposed a significant burden upon the executive's ability to conduct diplomatic relations with Mexico. In his dissent, Justice Samuel Alito accused the Biden administration of planning to simply release into this country untold numbers of aliens, adding, but the court looks the other way. And on this final day of a contentious Supreme Court term, a moment for the history books. After 233 years, Judge Ketanji Brown Jackson sworn in as the first black woman Supreme Court justice in U.S. history. Her husband holding up two Bibles as Chief Justice Roberts delivered the oath.
I am pleased to welcome Justice Jackson to the court and to our common calling.
That history-making moment earlier today, Terry Moran, we were on the air when it happened. And Terry, well, the Justice Jackson brings a new perspective here, life experience and background to the court. The philosophical makeup, for the most part, remains the same.
It does, Whit. It's still a 6-3 conservative supermajority. But they say that every new justice makes a new court. And Justice Jackson brings so much. That brilliant legal mind, her history as a public defender representing some of the most despised Americans, really, and that legacy of black American women in this country, and already a major voting rights case on the docket for next year. It's a case that will test whether state legislatures can seize full control of election results just in time for the 2024 campaign. Whit?
All right, Terry, thank you. And after a week of high-stakes meetings with allies overseas, President Biden also turning his focus to the Supreme Court, blasting the decision overturning Roe v. Wade, accusing the justices of destabilizing America. Tonight, at least 12 states have ceased nearly all abortion services, but just today, courts in Florida and Kentucky temporarily halting significant new limits in those states. ABC's Chief White House correspondent Cecilia Vega reporting from Madrid tonight.
On the world stage for the last day of this high-stakes summit.
Good afternoon, everyone.
President Biden today turning his attention back home, blasting the Supreme Court and what he called its outrageous behavior. The historic ruling overturning Roe v. Wade now prompting a major shift for the president. He wants Congress to pass abortion rights protections at the federal level and says he now supports carving out an exception to Senate rules that would allow Democrats to do this with just a simple majority rather than 60 votes.
I believe we have to codify Roe v. Wade in the law, and the way to do that is to make sure the Congress votes to do that.
But the president, well aware that key members of his own party have said they're not on board with eliminating the filibuster, even when it comes to abortion rights. And just as the president was about to board Air Force One for the flight home, another blow to his domestic agenda, with that Supreme Court ruling limiting the EPA's ability to regulate greenhouse gases. The decision effectively making it impossible for his administration to reach its goal of cutting greenhouse gas emissions in half by 2030 and eliminating carbon by 2050. The White House calling the decision devastating, saying it aims to take our country backwards.
A whirlwind day for the president on this final leg of his trip. Cecilia Vega traveling with him, joining us now from Madrid. And Cecilia, at a press conference, President Biden was also pressed on those record high gas prices and was asked how much longer Americans should expect to be paying so much.
Yeah, well, the president didn't give a date, but he basically told Americans to brace yourself. This is not going to end anytime soon. We have heard this from him before. He is blaming Russia and this war in Ukraine for these sky high prices. And right now he said that Americans should expect to feel the effects of this, quote, Whit, for as long as it takes.
Cecilia, thank you. Tonight here at home, record holiday travel is now underway, potentially the busiest in two decades. Nearly 48 million Americans set to travel this long weekend, some 42 million taking to the highways despite the soaring price of gas. Air travelers already braving crowds and at some airports facing another layer of obstacles, pilots on the picket lines. Here's ABC's Stephanie Ramos.
Tonight, hundreds of Delta pilots picketing at packed airports as millions of families make the mad dash to escape for the holiday. Standing shoulder to shoulder at Hartsfield-Jackson and Detroit Metropolitan, demanding better pay and better scheduling.
The cancellations are frustrating for the pilots as well. Management has it within their control to adjust the schedule.
After thousands of flights all over the country were canceled last weekend, Delta's CEO Ed Bastian promising customers they'll do better, writing, "If you've ever encountered delays and cancellations recently, I apologize."
The airlines are really struggling on any given weekend. And with these high volume holiday weekends, they're really struggling.
Tanika Smith from Boston had to pay $200 for another ticket to get to New Orleans.
I'm really annoyed and angry because we had already prepaid and booked and budgeted paying for our flights.
With all the problems in the air, a record 42 million are opting for the Great American Road Trip, half a million more than before the pandemic.
And Whit, the worst time to be on the road is right now. Take a look at this traffic. Tonight until 8 o'clock and tomorrow between 12 and 9 are set to be the absolute worst times to be on the road. This despite gas prices still averaging close to $5 nationwide. Whit.
Got to plan ahead. All right, Stephanie, thanks. And of course, weather could throw the best of travel plans off course. Severe weather on the move this weekend, damaging winds and hail in the Northeast from Philadelphia to New York to Boston, and the tropical threat in the Gulf as well, taking aim at Texas and Louisiana. ABC's senior meteorologist Rob Marciano timing it all out for us. Hey, Rob.
Hi, Whit. We'll start with the tropics. It looks more like August than the last day of June. We've got three disturbances to look at, one heading into the Caribbean, one about to head into Central America. That one's strong, probably a tropical storm. And the one that's now pestering the upper coastline of Texas, a 40% chance of developing. What it will do is bring heavy rain to Galveston and Houston over the next 24 hours, Beaumont into Lake Charles as well, 4 to 6 inches of heavy tropical downpours. That could create some flooding. Severe weather tonight across the UP of Michigan and northern Wisconsin. That front will drape across the Great Lakes and into the Northeast on Saturday. Damaging winds possible in the afternoon. That will be the roughest day of this holiday weekend. Whit.
All right, Rob, thanks. Now to the ABC News exclusive interview with Representative Liz Cheney, defending the testimony of former White House aide Cassidy Hutchinson, calling on the men who dispute one of her claims to come forward and say so under oath. And what we're learning now about whether Hutchinson was facing pressure from allies of former President Trump. ABC's chief Washington correspondent Jonathan Carl, one-on-one with the congresswoman.
Sources tell ABC News that Cassidy Hutchinson was one of the witnesses who told the January 6th committee that she was pressured by allies of Donald Trump to protect the former president. As the world saw this week, she did not give in.
She's an incredibly brave young woman, and the committee is not going to stand by and watch her character be assassinated.
I spoke to Liz Cheney at the Reagan Library. She expressed full confidence in Hutchinson, who has come under fire from Trump and his allies, disputing what she said she was told about Trump's fury on January 6th, when his lead Secret Service agent, Robert Engel, refused to take him to the Capitol.
Mr. Engel grabbed his arm, said, "Sir, you need to take your hand off the steering wheel. We're going back to the West Wing. We're not going to the Capitol." Mr. Trump then used his free hand to lunge towards Bobby Engel.
Today, Trump denied it all.
Who would do that? I would grab a Secret Service person by the throat.
Thank you very much.
And a source close to the Secret Service has told ABC News and multiple other news organizations that agents Bobby Engel and Tony Ornato will dispute Hutchinson's account that the president got physical, though the source does not dispute that he got angry when he wasn't taken to the Capitol.
Do you have any doubt at all in anything that she said to you?
I am absolutely confident in her credibility.
Cheney described the pressure campaign against potential witnesses. She told me the committee expects to talk to agents Engel and Ornato again.
Do you expect that testimony will be live testimony under oath like her testimony and for the world to see?
It is important that their testimony be under oath. And I understand very much the difficulty and the challenges that are presented when you are trying to protect somebody and the relationship that exists there. But they have an obligation to testify truthfully to the committee.
John Carl back with us now from Washington. And John, Cassidy Hutchinson testified that White House counsel Pat Cipollone was adamantly opposed to the idea of President Trump going to the Capitol on January 6th. Cipollone, we know, has now been subpoenaed to testify. Where does that stand now?
I am told, Whit, that conversations are underway between Cipollone's attorneys and the committee about an appearance. There is no agreement yet. But here's the interesting thing. Both sides say that they believe that ultimately Cipollone will testify before the committee. What kind of testimony? It will most likely be a closed door but recorded testimony and, of course, under oath.
More news likely to come on this. John, thank you as always. And a programming note here, John will have much more of his conversation with Representative Liz Cheney on This Week on Sunday and how the committee's revelations may play out in the midterm elections. Next tonight, the war in Ukraine. The family of one of the American veterans in custody of Russian-backed separatists now telling ABC News his captors want to make a deal. It comes as Ukrainian forces have scored a victory, retaking Snake Island, a strategic spot in the Black Sea. ABC's James Longman on the coast of Odessa tonight.
Tonight, the family of American Alex Druki, who was taken by Russian-backed separatists in Ukraine, tell ABC News his captors want to make a deal.
The people who have him are very, very eager to negotiate his release.
The U.S. Embassy in Kyiv today saying, we are seeking to learn as much as we can and are in touch with the families. But the U.S. doesn't recognize the breakaway regions as legal entities, so formal negotiations are unlikely. And tonight, a symbol of Ukrainian resistance reclaimed from Russia. Snake Island is the strategic outpost in the Black Sea, occupied by Russia since February 24. Defenders of the island at the time became national heroes for responding to Russian calls to surrender with an expletive. Well, today, Ukraine bombed them off the island. Satellite imagery confirming Putin's forces have retreated. These images provided by the Ukrainian Ministry of Defense show artillery striking the island June 21.
It may be that the threat of new long-range missile systems like the U.S. HIMARS that are now arriving in this country may have been part of Russia's calculations to leave Snake Island. Whit.
All right, James, thank you. Back here now, new developments in the worst migrant smuggling case in U.S. history. 53 people dying in a tractor trailer in Texas. 4 people now facing charges. U.S. officials say that when Homero Zamorano drove through a Border Patrol checkpoint, 64 people were on board. No one inspected that truck. The truck was found abandoned just 3 hours later in San Antonio. Only 11 of those inside survived. The driver appearing in federal court today. And new details in a disturbing case here in New York City. Police say they believe the brutal murder of a mother pushing a stroller on a city street was not random, and they are looking to question the baby's father. Police sources say before the woman was shot in the head, she texted a relative that she was planning to meet the father of their 3-month-old baby, quote, to work things out. The baby was unharmed. When we come back here tonight, a major break in the search for the Love Triangle murder suspect wanted in Texas and the cruise ship damaged hitting an iceberg off the Alaska coast returning to port today.
You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to LibsynAds.com now. That's LibsynAds.com. You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Libsyn Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Libsyn Ads. Go to LibsynAds.com now. That's LibsynAds.com. You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Libsyn Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Libsyn Ads. Go to LibsynAds.com now. That's LibsynAds.com.
A major break tonight in a case making national headlines. A fugitive accused of murder in Texas arrested in Costa Rica after 43 days on the run. The U.S. Marshals say Caitlin Armstrong was found in a hostel on Santa Teresa Beach, allegedly using a fake passport to travel. She's accused of killing professional cyclist Anna Mariah Wilson at her home in Austin. Wilson had previously dated Armstrong's boyfriend, who was also a cyclist. For the second time this week, authorities are investigating a bison attack at Yellowstone National Park. A 71-year-old woman gored by the bison while she and her daughter were returning to their car. She's being treated for minor injuries. It's the third bison attack in the last month. A father was also injured when their family came too close to a charging bison. You see the video there. This was near Old Faithful on Monday. Officials reminding people to always keep a safe distance from the wildlife. To the index now, a Norwegian cruise ship returning to port after hitting an iceberg off the coast of Alaska. Video showing the small iceberg slamming into the hull last weekend. Passengers there hearing it hit the ship. The Norwegian Sun reporting minor damage. The ship canceling its nine-night trip as a precaution. It returned to Seattle today. Crews will repair damage to the bow. Finally tonight, America Strong, the grandmother who found hidden treasure in her couch and gave it back.
Grandmother Vicky Umodu was eager to move closer to her family in Colton, California, proudly holding up her house keys in front of her new home. She sold her furniture before the move and looked on Craigslist for replacements, looking for something comfy to sit on while she helped raise her grandkids. Vicky eventually gets a sofa and two matching chairs, but then feels lumps inside. Later unzipping the cushion and finding cash, more than $36,000 worth.
I was just like, you know, telling my son, come. I was screaming, come. It's money. I need to call the guy.
Determined to do the right thing and give the money back, she calls the owner. He tells her the chair belonged to a family member who died and who had apparently hidden money around the house. Because he was in such disbelief at Vicky's honesty, the man gave her $2,200 to buy a new fridge.
Giving the money back was just the right thing to do. The first thing that came to my mind was just to call the guy and return the money.
Tonight, Vicky's sitting on that chair with her six-month-old grandson, Jay, grateful for the new refrigerator, saying it always pays off to do what's right.
I feel great about him giving us the $2,200, even though I was not expecting him to give us a dime. And I'm grateful and thankful for his generosity.
An example for all of us to follow. Thanks so much for watching. I'm Whit Johnson in New York. I hope to see you right back here tomorrow night. For David and all of us here, have a great night.
Hey, I'm Andy Mitchell, a New York Times bestselling author.
And I'm Sabrina Kohlberg, a morning television producer. We're moms of toddlers and best friends of 20 years.
And we both love to talk about being parents, yes, but also pop culture.
So we're combining our two interests by talking to celebrities, writers, and fellow scholars of TV and movies.
Cinema, really.
About what we all can learn from the fictional moms we love to watch.
From ABC Audio and Good Morning America, Pop Culture Moms is out now wherever you listen to podcasts.